At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is the Minnesota Tim Podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Minnesota Tim Podcast. It's a Wednesday, which means it's Jake's Takes Day. Please rate and review the podcast right now while I book Jacob and get him ready for the podcast. He's ready already, but that just sounds nice. Okay, Jake, welcome back. It's Wednesday morning. It's tradition for the last 4 weeks for you to come on the Minnesota Tim Podcast at 6 a.m. I'm in my robe. It must be Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Here we are. How are you?
I'm good. No complaints.
Yeah.
A little tired lately. I think I'm like, I have a little bit of like a cold or something.
It is cold season.
Yeah, and I played basketball last week and I was so sluggish. And more sluggish than normal. I'm always sluggish. That's what I do. I was doing more sluggish than normal. I was hardly making it up and down the court, so I haven't played now. And I was like, I think I need a little break. And that'll happen when you're around 125 fifth graders every day. I feel like you just pass around a cold for about 9 months, and then the summer hits, and then you're good.
Yeah, even when you're not around 125 fifth graders each and every day, Monday through Friday, you still get a cold. So right. I'm not around 125 fifth graders, and I'm just getting over it. I had a bad one from like Thursday to Monday. And Tuesday, I finally started feeling like myself again. The recovery process is almost 100%. I think I'm at like 95, 96% recovery. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. Yours is just starting.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of last week a little bit. I started to feel just kind of extra tired. Mm-hmm. Like Monday, I woke up even and just like I went to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that, normal time. And then I woke up and it's been a long time since I just felt that tired.
Mm.
Yeah. My coffee didn't help. I had a Diet Coke at lunch and I was like, and it helped a little bit get through the day. But man, the whole body was just like,
yeah. What went wrong in your theory is that you went for a Diet Coke? You got to go with that Mountain Dew or Coke or. What? Even Sprite's okay. You're a Diet Coke man now?
No, I just mixed it up. And then, like, so at home, I have a Mountain Dew, case Mountain Dew, you know, so I have plenty of Mountain Dew. So I bought it at school because I was like really optimistic. I was that guy. I'm like, I don't need a pop today.
Yeah.
We're going to power through. And then it was like 9:45 and I was already like laying on the floor. I was like, all right, vending machine, what do we got? Trying to Diet Coke randomly.
Speaking of laying on the floor, I think a lot of people are laying on the floor after Will Lalt double doinked it off the uprights in the Vikings versus London game. Now, you could have literally said anything and I would have said, speaking of.
I say that was a professional segue by you.
But, yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of made it up.
That was good.
I pulled it out of thin air. Anyway, so. Vikings defeat Saints 28-25 without Jameis Winston, Mike Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and an offensive lineman. Yeah. A win's a win, but it was a tough win against four players missing from the Saints starting lineup. Your overall thoughts about the Vikings' victory over New Orleans?
I thought it was kind of funny this weekend of football for Minnesota fans, because I feel like while the scores were very different, the Gophers were clearly the better team in their game against Purdue. And they kept giving away the game over and over again. And you kept waiting for them to seal the deal, so to speak, until Purdue, they finally let Purdue basically take a game that they didn't deserve, right?
Yep.
Or did, you know, that they were this inferior opponent and they took it because the game was close. Watching the Vikings game, although there was more points, it was kind of deja vu to me, because it was like, the Vikings are the better team, but we're just kind of not putting our, you know, the pedal to the metal. We're not finishing them off. We're letting them hang around. We're not really converting when we need to convert, but until they did. And that was the difference, obviously. That's, I mean, because I've heard a lot of Vikings fans complaining about that game on Sunday, and there's plenty of things to complain about. But when you're 3-1, kind of like last week, even when we were talking about the Lions, I'd rather be 3-1 and complain about things in a win than potentially 1-3 complaining about all these things in a loss. Like, they, credit to them, they still converted in the fourth quarter and did enough to win, even though, like, that effort will, you know, you do that effort in Green Bay in, you know, 14 weeks, 13 weeks, whatever that is, you know, you probably lose by 20 points, but you beat the team on the calendar when you're supposed to beat them. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's another step. They're figuring stuff out. They're figuring stuff out. It's all new. New players, new coaches, new schemes. You know, that, as we joke about it, that does take time to figure out. Like, Danielle Hunter is a perfect example. He has like 7 pressures the whole year so far. Like, obviously that dude's an all-pro DN. Like, he's going to continue, and the coaching staff's going to continue to work on and figure out how to get him in better situations to pass with. You know, like, just stuff like that. Figuring out how to use Thielen. Figuring out how to get Jefferson more open scheme-wise.
Yeah. So, offensively, I think our scheme was closer to the Green Bay game, at least how it looked on television, than the Detroit Lion game and the Eagle game. I thought we were moving the ball really well offensively. It seemed like passing yards were coming easy. Obviously, the problem came down to the red zone when Justin Jefferson dropped a pass. It was a little bit behind him, but if he's going to be the best receiver in the NFL, you probably should catch that.
You can touch it, you can catch it, right?
Exactly. It touches your hands. I don't care anywhere, any part of your hands, you should catch it. That's the family rule. And then Munt dropped another one on 3rd-and-1. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that could have been, I mean, easily a first down, but he could have maybe got into the end zone if he made one man miss. Kirk did miss Adam Thielen wide open on that play after. There are some people posting some things after the game, and it's like, whoa, he missed him wide open. That would have been a touchdown for Thielen. But who knows? Maybe Thielen would have dropped it. So the disappointing part offensively was that they had to settle for so many field goals, and the Saints, like you said, allowed for us to blow the game away in the third quarter with Andy Dalton's fumble at the end of the half. The muffed punt that they had, and the Vikings just failed to capitalize, like you were mentioning, on those opportunities, but they still won the game. The offense looked good. There's a lot of people talking and complaining about Donatell's defense. Do you have any opinions about the defense?
I mean, to me, it's too early to tell, because it's not like, it'd be one thing if last year, Mike Zimmer's last year, we had a top 10 defense.
Right. I think that's more it, too. I think,
and Donatell came in and ruined a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have the stat in front of me, but we were the bottom 5 last year of total defense. Like, we were one of the worst defenses.
Yeah.
And Donatell came in with inheriting those players. And he brought in Jordan Hicks. He brought in Za'Darius Smith. Like, he's brought in some guys that help. But if you look at our players that we have rotating in there, we still have corners that nobody knows the heck who they are. Harrison Smith's getting older. Our other safeties are just kind of, that's that Martellus guy. And I mean, it's not like we have an all pro personnel lining up there in 3-4. So I think, as much as they have to figure all that out too. It's not like we have in a defensive talent 1 through 11 where it's just like we should be an automatic top 10 defense. I mean, the peak is probably somewhere like 15, like middle of the pack is probably the best they can do with this personnel, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that take. I've seen a lot of complaints about the Donatelle, and I haven't really jumped on that bandwagon, but I get that bandwagon because things are coming so easily for opponents. It just seems like they're dinking and dunking and finding the middle of the field the entire game if they want to, except for the Green Bay game. Like the Eagles, they just marched up and down the field and scored so easily. The Lions, Jared Goff was just picking the Vikings defense apart like he was the best quarterback in the league. And Andy Dalton was doing similar things offensively for the Saints. This is my theory for Donatell. The Vikings defense, if they played straight up, like the way maybe he wants to play, they would just get burned and schooled and it would just be a disaster. Well, what we keep on hearing is that the Vikings defense doesn't want to give up the big play. And that's very noticeable. It seems like the Vikings are playing a prevent defense almost every possession. The cornerbacks are like 10 to 15 yards off of the wide receivers. But if we put Dantzler and Peterson lining up straight up man-to-man against the receivers, I'm pretty confident that those receivers would take those two cornerbacks to school pretty much the entire game. And then, like you said, you got Cam Bynum and Harrison Smith and the safeties as safeties. It's like those guys, I mean, Smith, I love you, but you're not as elite as you used to be. You're a solid safety right now. You're not the best anymore, maybe like you used to be. So I think it's more of a protection because we don't have the personnel to slow down opponents.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of summed up there. Our best cornerback is Patrick Peterson, who's definitely on the other side of his career. You know what I mean? Like on a good team, he's probably your second best corner at best. You know, you should have somebody probably better. And that's same way with Harrison Smith. It's no discredit to them. Like they're obviously, they went through their peak. They both were towards the top, if not the top in the league at their position at one point in their careers. But that's just, you know, that's how time works. Eventually you aren't that guy anymore. I agree. If they were just doing straight up man with Peterson would get picked apart by all these Cooper Cups and these, you know, Devontae Adams and Amon-Ra St. Browns and, you know, AJ Browns.
And we've seen it. Yeah. I mean, he's gotten picked apart, even being 10 to 15 yards off a player. Yeah. Even in the zone, they're still going after Patrick Peterson. And he makes a couple of good plays a game. Cam Dantzler actually really shined against the Saints on Sunday. So maybe he's coming into his own a little bit. He talked about getting his swagger back in the offseason. So, I doubted him. I mean, who am I to doubt Cam Dantzler?
Who are you to doubt?
Am I to doubt Cam Dantzler? Kirk, we talked offensively a little bit and we talked about how he scored when we needed to. But this is back to back weeks where when Kirk had to deliver, he delivered a game winning clutch drive. And I mean, if he doesn't do that, the Vikings probably lose back to back weeks and we're 1-3.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Here, I thought, let me see. I was looking for my stat. Hold on. The suspense is going to be electric here as everyone just waits. Oh, I can't find it.
My bad, guys.
Well, on a side note, Kirk Cousins is 3-1 for the first time in his career.
There we go.
The stat was just about how many different fourth quarter drives that he's led and clutch drives or whatever the word they use.
I feel like it's 20 or 21 or something like that. But
yeah, it was something like that, 20 or 21. And then the amount he has the same amount as the list was, it's kind of crazy. There's like Troy Aikman and there's like a bunch of like huge Hall of Fame names that he's led as many clutch drives as.
So does that mean Kirk Cousins is as good as Troy Aikman?
Probably, yeah. No, obviously, yeah, take that for a grain of salt. But the point of it is just simply saying that he is showing up for the most part when we need him to show up. There's parts of the game that look kind of clunky, but like that one-on-one, you know, it's kind of when you run the ball, just waiting to break open that big run in the fourth quarter. The Vikings kind of did that where Jefferson, they're just kind of waiting. I mean, they hit him still, obviously, all game, but they were waiting for that one-on-one man coverage. And the second they saw it, they were going to check into a, you know, basically a Jefferson go route. And what do? He gets like a 40-yard boom, bomb when he gets his 101. And that was like the most perfectly placed ball. Like that was expert. And so, yeah, Kirk Cousins, I mean, his stats are kind of not, I mean, he has 6 touchdowns and 4 picks right now. Like he's being kind of careless randomly. I mean, the Eagles game was the worst of it, but.
I mean, they have tried to tell him to unleash the ball and throw it downfield a little bit more. So maybe he's trying to come into that area in this game a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not the end of the world. Like, but so point is just that his stats aren't like insane right now, but he's clutch. He's been clutch. Just as long as the game's not at night.
Yeah, right, yeah. As long as it's a primetime game in the morning in London at 8:30 Central.
That's what I saw. There was a meme on Twitter that was like, just basically making fun of that point. It was like, you know, 7:30 p.m. and it was like coming out of his shell. And then it was like noon and he was like, you know, full power. But then it was like 8:30 a.m. and it was just like an explosion, like for Kirk. it really like it's the next level of power for Kirk Cousins to play at 8:30 when, you know, people in L.A. it's 6:30 in the morning and they're not even awake.
Yeah, he did have a lot of passing yards, like 273 or something. And I'm pretty sure when he played in London against Andy Dalton last time, and in which it was a tie, everyone kept on talking about that. I think he threw for over 400 yards in that game. So he does have some success in London in at least passing yards. Do you think the Vikings are ever going to catch a break from the rest? I mean, it's like 15-11 out there. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm sure it's every fan base, but it does make me laugh when I see all these different people on Twitter that, you know, you follow. And every week after week, they'll complain about the refs this and the refs that. And then it's suddenly quiet when the Vikings get a few 50-50 calls that go their way.
So right.
It's almost like it's just kind of random. And some weeks you get lucky and some weeks you don't. The refs are just kind of trying their best and they screw up sometimes.
Wait, like, no. Roger Goodell hates the Minnesota Vikings.
I feel like Roger Goodell would like the Vikings in terms of if they actually made the Super Bowl, like, for being one of the franchises that has like the longest like drought, like I feel like that would be at least a somewhat interesting storyline for the NFL purposes. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm overinflating Minnesota's impact on the country, but I feel like it's not at the bottom of his list of teams that he would want to see lose. Like, I'm guessing if everything Minnesota related, we're probably just in the middle.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, So reffing, I mean, the hands of the face was the bad one.
Yeah. I wonder if they called it on the wrong player. You know how they say the number wrong? But typically the instant replay will catch that, you know?
Yeah, usually they correct it. They show because they have a guy whose job is to find it on the TV, you know, so he's looking through the replays quick. And usually, they'll flip over and show the different spot. But yeah, they didn't, but who knows? Yeah, but if that was the hands of the face, that was, you know, I'm guessing your daughter has had more vicious hands to the face.
Her own hands to the face. Her fingers are in her mouth and everything. Yeah. No. The pass interference call I thought was legit enough. You know,
was legit enough. And to be fair to them, they were consistent. Like, they had called a lot of like holdings and like they were kind of calling more corner and wide receiver tanglements as penalties. So some refs just let all of those go. And they weren't. So it was consistent with what they had been calling. Yeah. It was one of those things where it was the perfect underthrow, right? If that's overthrown, that's not a penalty, but it was underthrown. So Thielen tries to come back to the ball just a little bit. Guy was kind of holding him. And then it looks 10 times worse when Thielen turns to try to catch it. So I don't know. But then it was still a break, though. I mean, they could have not called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they didn't call it, I think it would have been understandable. And if they did, it was really a 50-50 call, you mentioned. Honestly, if I was a quarterback and I knew my receiver had like maybe one step on the cornerback, would you purposely underthrow the football to immediately gain a pass interference penalty? Now, I think it depends on the receiver. Like Adam Thielen, he's not going to go up and snag it over Marcus Lattimore. Justin Jefferson probably will go up and snag it over Marcus Lattimore.
It's risky because if there's no contact, if the corner just kind of notices in time and he just, you know, then he's just going to pick it off. So, yeah, it's true. It's, high risk, high reward. I mean, there is sometimes where you watch teams and they just chuck it up as high as they can, it seems like, hoping for a pass interference.
Seems like, but the Aaron Rodgers special. Seems like, yeah, that a lot.
That's true. Speaking of reffing, by the way.
Yeah.
Controversy yesterday in our middle school football game.
Oh, let's hear it. Yes.
We played two since the last time we talked. Also, by the way, before I start that story, I found out Casey Fails is not the one listening to the podcast.
Wow.
It's Caleb.
Jeez. So Caleb's going to give Casey a whole bunch of crap for this.
Well, no. Just from, because we mentioned Casey like a couple weeks ago, you know?
Yeah.
And so he texted us right away, like, for getting a shout out. He wasn't even listening. Caleb was the one who told Casey that he got shouted out. So
Caleb, here's your shout out. Here's your podcast
shout out. Because Casey's a fraud. That's what
Following in Mark Rosen's footsteps.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway,
story time. Yeah.
So Thursday we beat Rockford 30-0.
Of course.
Yeah. On top of the world. Yesterday we lost to Howard Lake and ended up being 28-14. Okay, battle. We were it was a good humble loss for us. We were kind of on our high horse a little bit.
Yeah. We're looking at the game tape the same way.
Yeah, we were feeling ourselves, and Howard Lake came to play. We weren't quite ready to. We thought we might just walk over them. They had beaten Howard Lake last year too, so that kind of. Sure. I think they were just thinking it would be.
Well, I guess the crowd. Was it on the road? Was it a road
game? It was on the road. The crowd was rowdy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you got the crowd noise, and you know, it's
the Lake crowd was.
You're traveling. You got jet lag traveling to Howard Lake. It's tough.
Yeah, but I never ever would ever get, you know, it's a middle school ref getting $30 for that game, so I don't ever say anything. You know, there's holding on every play by 10 different players on both teams. I don't care about anything. But we got a fourth down stop. And so we were on our own 3-yard line. And I'm convinced that this ref is not aware of what forward progress is. Because we ran the ball up the middle. Our running back got to the line of scrimmage and like hit our lineman and then hit. Like got tackled or like got, you know, wrapped up by Howard Lake guys. Got pushed back into the end zone. And then he called the safety. And I was like, hold on. Like, I'm like, he got back to the line of scrimmage and then got hit. Like that's forward progress. Like at most, you could argue he lost like half a yard at most. If you wanted to, I wouldn't complain. But if it, you could have argued probably he gained a half yard when he actually made contact with the Howard Lake guy. So he's kind of walking down the line. And I was like, sir, he made it all the way out to the 3-yard line. He's like, are you kidding me? He got tackled in the end zone. I was like, whoa. I'm like, and we were losing at that point. So I'm like, I know I'm like, it doesn't affect the score of the game. Like we're probably not going to win anyway, but I'm like, he got to right here. And I like pointed at the line and he's like, you're kidding me. He didn't even get close. That was a safety. And I was like, oh, arrogant and wrong. And then I just waved at him and walked away. Cause that's
classic all I'm at. Like, yeah, Howard Lake. Must've been a Howard Lake fan.
I just think either he missed how far he got, because I mean, sometimes you're looking down the line and the running back kind of disappears as all the linemen are moving, or he just, I mean, there was a couple other times during the game with the forward progress thing. They just like, there'd be contact and then there'd be like five or six people like tackling the running back and he gets pushed back and then they'd wait and then blow the whistle kind of thing. And then they'd place it kind of weird, the ball. Mm-hmm. So I think they just weren't, you know,
weren't ready for it.
Yeah, just weren't that schooled in like forward progress, and it's where that point of contact happens. But again, I wasn't like yelling at the guy, but I'm like, I was like, hold on,
whoa, like,
he got to right here.
See, yeah, again,
I don't want to disrespect any refs, and it's like he was mean about it, but he just was so confident. I'm like, you're so confident, but you are not right.
So, are you joining that Vikings fan base of blaming the refs for the loss?
Yeah, I took to Twitter.
Obviously, it's the only rational thing to do.
I tweeted out my displeasing, you know, nature that I was in yesterday. My state, I tweeted rashly. I expect to hear from the Wright County Conference, and I will probably be levied a fine for going after the officials in my press conference.
But was it worth it?
But it'll be worth it. I sent the message to the guys that I had their back.
I'll
donate. I'll match the fine. I'll donate to someone's favorite charity. So it'll be fine.
It's really prepping your team up to get ready for the Watertown game.
Next Thursday.
It's whispering into the officials' ear, knowing that you're watching every single thing that they call.
Yeah.
So I think it's
like
really,
I don't want to come off as a, you know, some, you know, jerk. Cause like, I don't get after refs ever, even in, when I was doing varsity basketball, it's like, I don't need to get after refs, but I was just like, no, sir, you are wrong in this instance. Like, he got to the 3-yard line.
I do remember one instance, and it looked a whole lot worse from the bleachers as it did on the court. According to you, my inside source, I remember watching a playoff game when I think you were a junior, and you were talking to a ref. This is basketball. And Trevor comes over.
Oh, that was at Mayor.
that was at Mayor.
Yeah. So it was like for the conference. Yeah.
Yeah. And Trevor comes over and you're just talking to the ref. And Trevor comes over and tries to pull you away, and you're trying to get back into your conversation with the ref. And then the crowd, who has no idea what's going on, give him a technical. Give him a tech, because your shirt's getting like dragged from Trevor. And
yeah, Trevor made it look like I was ready to fight the ref. No, literally what happened was I shot a three, and the guy like kind of half. It wasn't like I didn't think it was a foul at all. He just kind of was half under me, so my ankle landed, or like my foot landed on his foot a little bit. And so I did what, you know, any shooter does, right? My ankle started, you feel that moment where it's starting to like twist or roll. And so I just fell instead of fully landing. Like, I felt it start to go and I just landed on my butt. And then I didn't say anything to the ref because I'm like, that's not a foul. I just was making sure my ankle didn't die, basically. And then the ref walked by and like kind of, he's in a little bit of a tone, was like, flop again, and that's a technical. And I literally, all I said was, I'm like, sir, I wasn't trying to flop. I just was making sure my ankle didn't roll. That's literally all I got out. And then Trevor grabbed my jersey, like I said, like I was ready to fist fight somebody, and like shoved me away. I was like, what are you doing, Trevor? Like, I'm not even mad. I just let him know I wasn't trying to flop and that I wouldn't, you know, I wasn't trying to flop.
Can you even get a technical for flopping in high school basketball?
I don't know. Yeah, that was the first I've played forever, and I've coached the last 5 years high school basketball. I've not heard that one before.
I mean, we had the ultimate flopper on our team, Colton Bjorklund. He would shoot a three-pointer, and I mean, he knew it too. Like, he would shoot a three-pointer and then fall back after he shot the three, after he knew it was going in. And anytime the ref called the foul, he had the biggest smile on his face because he knew he got away with it.
Yeah. So. Well, the only time I got after the ref, as assistant coach, you can't really do that ever, but we were playing our playoff game against Holy Family, and we were a huge underdog. And we were running a play on offense, 2-3 minutes left, and like only up by like 6 points or something, really close. And our guy like got bumped out of bounds, like on the baseline, like our just a cutter, like part of the play. So the ball was in the top of the key. And he like ran out of bounds because the guy like bumped him, and he took like 2 steps out of bounds and ran inbounds. And the ref actually called like a violation for like, because you can't purposely run out of bounds to like as an advantage, apparently.
Mm.
And so he was out of bounds for like 2 steps and got bumped out. And the guy called in a violation for running out of bounds to create an advantage. And we were just like flabbergasted that that's the only time I've ever heard of that being called.
Yeah.
And then it was in prime time of a playoff game. I was like, that was not great.
Maybe you should talk to Roger Goodell and see why he's coming after Jacob Watterson. We got
fine. Wright County sent to fine too. So we're racking up the donations to the Wright County Conference here.
Well, you're a good man. Well, let's finish up with a preview for the Vikings-Bears game. Mm-hmm. Your prediction, your take on what the Vikings will accomplish Sunday against the Bears.
Well, I think Tyreek Hill has more receiving yards than the Bears team.
Yeah.
So their offense is putrid. It really is. I mean, Justin Fields, I don't know it's hard to tell if he is bad or they just set him up for failure so bad with the lack of weapons they have that the team is bad or it's both. I'm not 100% sure yet, but If the Vikings don't clean up in this game and kind of have one of those convincing wins, then there's maybe a little more room for concern. They're clearly worse than, I know the record, they're 2-2, I believe, and the Lions are 1-3. That will be flipped by the end of the year. The Lions are a way better team than the Bears are. The Bears could be one of the worst teams in the entire league. I'm not sure who else I would take over them. They're just not a lot of talent on offense or defense. So it should be kind of a, you know, our famous last words as Viking fans, should be a walk in the park win, but no, I'm sure it'll be a game-winning 61 field goal that our double doink goes in or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have a score prediction for us?
Let's go with 31-10.
Wow. 31-10.
Bears can't score the ball. I mean, the only reason we might not get to 31 is they do run the ball like crazy. So, like, it could be a situation where if the Vikings start slow and the Bears are running the clock, like it's 7-3 at halftime.
I think this is going to be a boring game.
So it could be, I mean, Vikings could quote unquote dominate in a win that's like 17-3. Yeah. Too. I could see that formula happening too. If the Vikings jump on them, get early, all of a sudden it's 14-0. They start with two touchdowns. Like it could be a boat race, but you're right. Yeah. If the Bears run the clock a little bit and like, convert a long drive into a field goal or even a touchdown, it could be a boring, sluggish game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This might be a game where it's like, oh my gosh, can we just turn it off already?
Bill Simmons always talks about it because he watches all football all day, every day, every Sunday, and he always calls them apple picking weekends. He's like, if there's no good games, strategically pick that weekend to go apple picking with your wife and family so that the next week when there's all the good games, you can sit on the couch the whole day.
That is a good strategy.
So this might be an apple picking weekend to miss that Vikings game.
Yeah, honey, you talked about doing that one thing with that one thing where it's out of town. Let's do it this weekend. I don't want to be selfish this weekend. I want to think about what you want to do.
Because she will have no idea that you don't really want to watch the Bears and Vikings play anyway. So you could say, I don't have to watch football this week. You know, it's like, I'm willing to give that up. Let's go pick some apples and go carve some pumpkins at the apple orchard. That'd be really fun. Good date. And then next Sunday, it's like they don't exist. And you're on the couch watching football for 12 hours again.
See, I can't watch football for 12 hours a day. That's just too tough for me. I mean, I think a lot of people do that, but I mean, I watch like a Vikings game. I don't typically watch the 3:30 game unless it's like a good game in the fourth quarter. I'll switch it on with like 6 or 7 minutes left to see the final drive. And then maybe like a half of Sunday Night Football unless it's like a must watch.
I say for me, it just depends on the matchups. Like the first couple of weeks of the NFL season, I do watch pretty much all three games on Sunday. Regardless of what they are.
Plus, you got fantasy football at stake, too.
Right, because I like fantasy football, too. So at this point in the season, now it's just more of like, if the 3:25 game is a good one, then I will watch it. If it's not, I'll usually do something else. Same with the Sunday night and Monday night. Like, if they're good games or at least decent games or fantasy guys, I'll watch it. But I don't know. Like, Chiefs-Bucks from Sunday, like, after a quarter, you could tell that was going to be a blowout, so I didn't watch the rest of that one. I'm like, I don't need to see this blowout. Broncos, and who do they play Monday? That was Sunday night with Broncos. It doesn't matter. But Rams, even 49ers, right away, you could tell the Rams didn't have it. I'm like, I don't care about these two teams. I'm not watching this trash.
Yeah, yeah.
Go apple picking, Holly. No.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, let's do what you want to do tonight. I'm tired of watching football.
Yeah, or it's like, let's watch what you want to watch. I can sacrifice football today. And it's like, yeah, I want to watch it anyway.
Hallmark movie comes in.
Yeah, and then I usually fall asleep on the couch. So everyone wins.
I'll predict Vikings 24-14 over the Bears.
Okay. So similar idea. It just depends how quickly the Vikings start, I think.
Yeah. We'll see how that time difference affects them coming back.
Ooh, true.
Yeah.
The London effect.
The London, I know. It's like everyone gets to know how big of a deal the London game is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure jet lag, I'm sure they could feel it, but.
Right. Well, that's what I laughed at Common. I'm sure you follow Common Man on Twitter. Like when it looked like the Vikings might lose, he was tweeting out about how the circadian rhythms of Vikings, it was going to cost them the win.
Their time clocks are off.
Their time clocks. And then they won. And then he tweeted about the Saints' time clocks that if they would have showed up later, they would have won.
Yeah. I love me some Common. I'm a big program password guy.
Program.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Jake, anything else you wanted to say?
Nope.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of the Minnesota Tim Podcast with Jake Stakes. He'll be back again next Wednesday. follow, rate, review the podcast wherever you're currently listening to this podcast. Everyone have a great week. We'll be back again next week. Talk to you later.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.